Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Well, welcome. If you're a guest with us today, or if you're tuning in on a podcast or on the live stream, welcome. If you have been in one of my impact groups before, just be rest assured there will be no games today. Okay. This is, you know, I don't know if I'm short or if this is high, but I always feel like a little kid at the adult furniture. Oh, mercy. Well, we are in the middle of a great series. Yes? What not to wear? Good. Well, what I want to do before we get into the breastplate of righteousness is I wanted to do a little bit of review of what Pastor Carl's been sharing with us. So if we could take our first slide. Thank you. And just a shout out to the media team, eh? And the worship team this morning. Like, come on. Okay. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And if I was Pastor Carl, I would say, his might, not our strength, but this is the power of the Almighty. "And so put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So Pastor Carl, he was singing us an old Sunday school song he used to sing about the wiles of the devil, about how he will try to deceive us, but it is actually not people we are wrestling against. It is not flesh and blood, but it is these spiritual things. So, next verse. Thank you. Or next slide. Wrestle. So this here is when we are holding somebody down, our hand upon their neck. And I would like to say, and Pastor Carl was saying this, that Jesus came into the world not to take us out, but to get in us and to keep us in the world. So that way, wherever we go, we are putting his purposes, his kingdom, like we sang this morning, your kingdom here on earth, right here, right now. Yeah? Okay, next slide. Thank you. So mankind is to protect, shamar, the eternal purposes of God, and put the kibosh on his enemies. I don't know if you guys were in that sermon. If you have not, you should take the time and listen and get caught up. And we can put the kibosh on our enemies, and we can stand for all the good things in our lives. Next slide. Thank you. So Ephesians 1. He raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all. And so again, he is not just a little bit above, you know, but he is far above. And he just talked about Jesus, the name above every name, far above every name. So this is good stuff. We are in a very good position here. Next slide. Thank you, Romans 13. "Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." So putting on the armor of light is putting on the Lord Jesus himself, and we place ourselves in him. We are in him. We are in him. Very important. Very, very important. Next slide. Thank you. So last week, he looked at the belt of truth. And it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." This chapter, Ephesians 6, it's called the prison epistles because Paul, he was actually under house arrest. There was a soldier that was guarding him, and he looked at that soldier, got inspired, or God used that to inspire him to write this. And so that's when he had this whole vision of the armor of God and this belt of truth. And this is the very first piece because it is so very important. Next one. So he talked about the tenses. First, three pieces of armor, having put on. So it says, having put on this belt of truth. This is something that we already have, and this is very important later on in today. Next slide. Thank you. Okay. Strike the loins of those who rise against him, any of those who hate him, that they will not rise again. And gird up the loins of your mind. So he's talking about the loins of our mind. And if you really want to take somebody out, you can do so in the loins. You can do so in their mind. And so that is why truth is such an important concept. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. So victory or defeat is determined by the loins. Strength is in the loins. And this is where the Roman soldier would keep everything. Money, sword, writing instruments, garments, everything tucked in. So this is so vitally important. A person not established in truth will be poor, defenseless, misunderstood, and unkept. So this is something we really want to get. Next slide. Thanks. So truth, it is an objective standard by which reality is measured. It is fidelity to an original or standard, and it is what conforms to reality. Next slide. So he gave us the example of a clock, Big Ben. Who knows? Maybe he's there. He says, whatever Big Ben is, you know, you'll set your watch to that time. So whatever truth is, we should line up to that, and everything should be measured against that truth, right? Okay. And he gave us a few verses. Oh, you're on it. Okay, it talks about bringing every single thought into captivity that we have. Next slide. Thank you. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Next slide. Thank you. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And he spoke about in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, that we are to be the pillars of truth. Yes? Okay, good. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So this here is really, really important. And so if you don't have that solid, you go listen to that again, and I swear it will bless you. I've been listening to it a couple times this week. Make sure I'm ready for today. So what we're going to talk about today is Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So, again, Paul was looking at the Roman soldier, and he would have been wearing a breastplate. Ah, there we go. Thank you. And you could see it would have even maybe come up a little bit higher. It would go right up from his neck and go right down to his navel. If we were in kids' church, I'd make you touch your neck. I'd make you touch your navel. It's okay. I'm in big church right now. Thank you. Thank you. So this would have been made out of iron or some other metal. And you know why it's important? It's important because of what it shields. You know what it's covering? It's covering our vital organs. It's covering our lungs, our kidneys, what's the other one in there? It's covering our liver, and it's covering our heart. So I was talking with a friend about this, and they were saying that the lungs, the kidney, the liver, they're like, those are things that filter things in your body. And I was like, you're right. It takes all the good stuff in, puts all the good stuff out. So this breastplate of righteousness, this protects our filters, the way we see things. So this is really, really important. The other thing that's there, the other vital organ is our heart. Eh? This is the source of our thoughts, the source of our feelings. We cannot survive without our heart. And the breastplate of righteousness, it protects this. It protects our source of light, the life. The breastplate of righteousness, it protects our vital organs so that it protects the vitality of our Christian walk, and it will protect our thoughts, it will protect our feelings, and it will protect the condition of our heart. So this is a very, very important piece of armor. Amen? Mm-hmm. Thank you. So again, this is one of the first three This is one of the first three mentioned. It says, having put on. This is past tense. So this is not something, he didn't say, oh, make yourself a breastplate of righteousness. I am not making this, because I tell you, if I had to make it, there would be a lot of holes in it. This is something that we already have. Okay? Okay. So it's acting as a shield to your vital organs, I said that, but what is it shielding against? It is shielding, it's called the breastplate of righteousness, because it's shielding against accusations of unrighteousness. So you'll see that the devil is called the accuser all throughout the word. In Revelation, he's called the accuser of the brethren. And in Job, he's thrown Job under the bus with God. And then in Zechariah, he's trashing Joshua. So everywhere you go, you see that the enemy is accusing us. And he's accusing us of unrighteousness. And he's going to try to lie to you. He's going to lie to you about the grace of God. He's going to tell you that this is something you're going to have to do on your own. And he'll heap shame and condemnation on you. And he strikes at who we are. And he'll attack our position. He'll go after our righteousness. And if one of these vital organs are struck, then you can't be on the offensive. You cannot go into battle. So it's really, really clear that we have this breastplate of righteousness down. Okay? So, you know, really, I think it's important we know what this is. I find righteousness is a really kind of churchy word. You know, it doesn't sound too relevant, like, hey, you wearing your breastplate of righteousness today? Like, that doesn't come up much. So I feel like, you know, we'll hear it in songs and Christian books and, you know, you'll hear it in sermons. But what is it? What is it? Why does this matter? Thank you. I'm going to take it down to its very bare bones, okay? And I'm going to say, I love this. I'm going to say that righteousness is being right with God, that I am in Christ, and that I am as close to Him as I am ever going to be. He accepts me. He is not frustrated with me. He is not annoyed by me. He is not disappointed by me. And my righteousness is not based on what I do. It is not based on what I will do, what I have done, what I haven't done. My performance does not even come into it. Mm-hmm. I will never lose my righteousness. I am not growing in righteousness. And in fact, Clark Whitten, he even says that I am as righteous now as I am going to be in heaven. No levels, no shades, no degrees, no percentages. I cannot achieve my righteousness. It is a gift. Thank you. Next one. It is not a reward. I am in right standing with God, and this is a free gift from God, not a reward, free gift from God. Amen? Amen? So that's righteousness. So I will take the next slide. Let's get rid of that one. Romans 5:17. If by the transgression of the one death reigned, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. That's exciting. Should I read that one again? Yeah. Okay, because I, you know, help me out here, people. Throw me a bone. Okay. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Thank you. So two things you can do with a gift. There's only two. You can either accept it, you can receive it, or you can reject it. That's it. Okay? So I highly say that we should accept it. But something we don't want to do is someone gives you a gift, maybe priceless gift, something you could never get on your own. Oh, well, let me pay you for that. You know, how tacky, how tasteless. Let's not do that. But, you know, that could be a real slap in the face to the gift giver. You know, we don't want to do that. It's enough, eh? Yeah. Thanks. Psalm 14:3 says that all have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Next verse. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. I'll take one more. Romans 3:22. It reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So these verses are talking about our righteous acts, our good deeds, things that we try to do, and this doesn't cut it. Not the bad stuff we do, but the good stuff we do, because it's not enough. We either have to keep all of the law in the whole entirety. It requires perfection. It's an all or nothing sort of thing. So can I have the next slide? Thank you. I found this gentleman here looking across the Grand Canyon. So the Grand Canyon at its widest, it is 18 miles. Now let's say I want to jump across. It is not going to happen, okay? And honestly, it doesn't matter if I miss by 10 miles or if I miss by 3 inches. As I'm plummeting down 6,000 feet, it doesn't matter. I have missed the mark. I cannot do this on my own. I am not righteous on my own. It is God's gift to us, and I just say we accept it. Yes? Yeah. So the way we try to pay for this gift ourselves, it's called self-righteousness. So I'm fasting because I want to be closer to God. I really want God to love me more. So I'm going to get up early every day this month. I'm going to read the word because I want him to love me more. I've been messing up lately. I'm going to really get my life in order. And when I get my life in order, then I'm going to come on Wednesday nights. But until then, I don't know. Friends, we don't have to do a thing to be accepted or loved by God. We are close to God. We are in Him. He loves us. He accepts us completely and fully. So I'm not saying that disciplines and serving are wrong, but just what is your motive for it? Okay? What is your motive for it? Is it because you feel like you have to? Is it because you're trying to earn his approval? Or is it because you can? Is it because you get to? Doing these things should simply be our response to his great love. We sung a song about that today. It was perfect. Now, there is somebody. Can you give me the next slide? Thanks. There was somebody, he came and he lived a very perfect life. He was sinless and he did keep the law. That was Jesus. And in the Old Testament, if you wanted to be righteous, if you wanted to be close to God, then you had to bring a sacrificial lamb to Jerusalem, get the priest to inspect this, and then you would be made right with God. You could be righteous today, you could be unrighteous tomorrow. So imagine with me, if you will. Here I am, I've got my lamb, and I'm going to go down to Jerusalem. Maybe it takes a day, maybe it takes three, you know, as I'm driving there, you know, maybe my clothes get wrinkled. You know, did I forget the deodorant at home? This lamb, it's, you know, the lamb smells a little bit. Can you smell that on me as well? And so here I am, I'm at the temple, and I'm getting really nervous about how do I look? Like I'm about to bring my lamb. Let me tell you something. The priest did not look at the person bringing the lamb. The priest inspected the lamb. They inspected the sacrifice and made sure that was perfect so that it could be righteous. Well, let me tell you that Jesus came. He lived a perfect sinless life. He kept the law in all of its entirety. And nobody's looking at me. They're looking at Jesus, people. He is our perfect lamb. He is our righteousness. And our sin is not covered for the day, but I am cleansed. I am whole. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am right with God, and I am eternally righteous. Okay. Next slide. Thank you. Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Eh? Not the Lord his righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. That will be his name. Praise the Lord. Next verse. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Folks, friends, he has done this for us. We are righteous. We are in right relationship with him. Next verse. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So our sin became his and his righteousness became mine. So my sin became his righteousness became mine. That is exciting. Those are the types of exchanges that I like. Yeah? Yeah. And it's so important we get this. If we get a handle on righteousness, it can change our day-to-day, people. It can save us from condemnation. It can affirm us, and it can empower us and embolden us. So it is so important that we really get a grasp and a concept of this breastplate of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I looked up a few other words in the Bible. I'm like that, that I thought were pretty important. I looked up the word heal. So healing, heal, whatever. Found out that there are 197 references in the Bible that talk about healing. And I think healing is really important, eh? We pray for that, believe for that. And then I looked up faith. Faith, very important, right? That had 175 different references in the Bible. So, I know an important word. Salvation, right? Very important. Salvation can be found 178 times in the Bible. But you want to know what? Righteousness can be found 536 references in the Bible. It is only mentioned 14 times less than healing, faith, and salvation combined. So this tells me that I better pay attention. This tells me that I better get a handle on righteousness. This tells me this is very important for my life. Yes? Yeah. I have a quote up here from Clark Whitten. This is from his book, Pure Grace. If you haven't read it yet, I know Rob has it in the bookstore, and I highly recommend it. Okay. It is my opinion that this subject of righteousness and our understanding of it is the real tipping point for a life lived in freedom and spiritual abundance. One more. It seems if one receives the gift of righteousness and wholeheartedly embraces the truth of it all the other points of truth associated with God's great and magnificent grace fall into place. Wow. So this truth, the breastplate of righteousness, is the truth that can help me live in freedom. It can help me live in spiritual abundance. And if I embrace this truth, then Pastor Carly says, I looked up the definition of all. You know what it was? All. All points of God's grace fall into place in my life. Do you know what I say? I say, yes, please, right? Honestly, what you think about righteousness, it is going to affect everything. And it's going to affect how you relate to God. Because it can, and it does. It saves us from condemnation. So, does this mean I'm righteous, I'm close with God? Does this mean now that I'm incapable of all righteous acts? No, I can still mess up. But does that mean I'm unrighteous now? No, I am always going to be righteous. And I think that sometimes we really need to be reminded of this most when we mess up. It's like if you are sick, I don't need to think about sickness and ill health. People, you better be confessing healing if you're sick. You better be looking at your verses on healing. You should be listening to sermons on healing. You should be praying for healing. And it is the same thing when you mess up. Don't beat yourself up and say, man, I messed up. I suck. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that. You should say, no, I am the righteousness of God. And he took my sin and I am free. I am in right standing with him. I haven't screwed anything up with him. I am still close with him, and that is not going to change. Mm-hmm. In John 16, 8 to 10, it says that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of our righteousness. And this isn't like he is going to take all of our eyes off our sin. It's not like we don't have conversations with God about these things, but it's just that our eyes are looking and pointing at Jesus, the thing that's really important, people. Hey? Yeah. So, Paul Ellis, this was so powerful for me. It said, just as your righteous deeds did not make you righteous, your unrighteous deeds do not make you unrighteous. There is nothing you can do to take away this position that you're in of being close with him, of being in him. There is nothing that can change that. And you know, if you take the time and you stop looking at, you know, this, you change your mindset about maybe times when you mess up and you start looking at being righteous, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start to walk the walk. You're going to start to talk the talk. You're going to start acting righteous. As soon as you believe it, it's going to start manifesting in your life and it's going to start happening. Because when we are with Jesus, our natural outcome is that we become like him. When we experience his love and when we remember that how he has positioned us, he has positioned us in him, then our only natural outcome is to be like him. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Friends, this breastplate of righteousness means that there is no condemnation. There is nothing that is going to separate you from his love. And I just feel like I should say that again. There is no condemnation. I don't care what happened. I don't care what you did. There is nothing that's going to change your right position with God. There is nothing in your way. Do not be deceived. Put on your breastplate of righteousness and just say, God, thank you that I am good with you. Yeah. I went through a mentoring program with Pastor Cheryl, and we did this amazing book, Now Discover Your Strengths. And I found out that one of the themes in my life is harmony. I like things to be good with people. You know, if we're going to confront something, I can be all types of awkward. It's a gift. Something does happen, I have this amazing ability to think that I've got to do whatever I can to make things right with you. So this particularly hits home to me to know that no matter what, there is no condemnation. I am right with God. Okay? So please, no more beating yourself up. If something comes up again, and it's probably something you can't do anything about anyway, it's probably something from way back when. If something comes up, let's just say from today forward, we're just going to leave it there. Hey? Can we just leave those behind? Can today be that day? Yeah, good. Okay. Another thing that the breastplate of righteousness does for us is it affirms us. I've got another wonderful slide. In Genesis 37, verse 3, the Bible tells us a story about Joseph, and his dad loved him so much, and he favored him so much that he gave him this wonderful robe, this coat of many colors. I don't know if any of you have seen the play. I haven't. But his dad gave it to him because he loved him so much. And in the story of the prodigal son, the father got so excited that the son came back home that before the son could even get the apology speech out, the father robed him. The father said, come on, give him the very best robe. Because he was just so excited to have him back home. He was so excited to be in relationship with him again. He was so excited to be beside him again. He was excited to have him back. And in Isaiah 61:10, I think I have a slide. Yeah, it says, I'll greatly rejoice in God, and my soul will exalt my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. And so I say, what if righteousness, it's great, I'm in right standing with God, but what if it's a little bit more than that? And what if it is that God wants us to show off his goodness, right? That could be, people. Right? He maybe wants us to wear it really proudly to say, hey, I'm right with God. You can be too. And it's not like, I'm right with God. you could be too. No, it's not like that, right? It's like, look at God's goodness in my life. Look at what I'm wearing. Look, I've messed up, but I'm still close with God, and I'm not going to mess up again because I'm righteous. You can be too. Come. So this is a chance, people, we can be affirmed, and we can feel really good knowing that we have this robe of righteousness on us. And if you were here on the Wednesday night, I spoke about God just dying to throw out his expressions of love upon us. I feel like righteousness is also one of those things, eh? Yeah. Another thing that I believe righteousness can do is I believe it can empower us. So because we're wearing this breastplate of righteousness, because we know we're in right standing with God, and we know that there's no condemnation, and we know that he wants to show off his goodness, we know that he wants to show off his love. You know what? I'm feeling pretty good right about now, right? I can be pretty bold. And that's what knowing this does. That's what knowing about the breastplate of righteousness does. It empowers us. It emboldens us. Can you give me a slide? 1 John chapter 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. We can have confidence. Eh? Next slide. Thanks. Now that we know what we have, Jesus. Sorry, you guys aren't as excited as you should be here. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let it not slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. No, he's been through our weaknesses testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. We have no barriers. We can have boldness. He says, come to me, ask for what you want because you are righteous and there is nothing that's going to take that away. Huh? Yeah. Proverbs 12:5, it says, the plans of the righteous are right. And this means that we're righteous, which means that the things that you choose to do, they are righteous. Any dreams that you have, any desires that you have, and I'll be so bold and I'll say that God even planted those there within you. And I know that because I am with him and he is with me, and that nothing that happens in my life is ever going to change that. I feel so empowered. I feel so empowered to go for it, eh? I feel so empowered to act out on those dreams, to act out on those hopes, and to not let them sit idle by and just waffle with it. But I really feel, I feel so emboldened. And there is a verse, it's Proverbs 24:16, and it says that the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. Do I have the Judas Smith slide or no? No. Okay, that's fine. Judas Smith says this about that verse. I'm gonna read it to you, okay? The righteous falls 7 times and rises again. He says, did you catch that? He's righteous, yet he falls. It's not his perfect track record that made him righteous. This guy falls 7 times. He's a klutz. He's a failure. But the man is righteous because God said he is righteous. He is righteous because he trusts God to make him righteous. And he never gives up because he knows he's righteous. So he keeps attempting great things, crazy things, and he never gives up. So it doesn't matter that he fell 7 times because he gets right back up again. And so that's what God's saying to us in this verse, is that you are righteous and it doesn't matter how many times you fall. You get right back up because you are righteous. That is not going to change. You are still going to be close with him. So feel bold and feel empowered to go for it. Don't just let it sit within you. Just go for it. Write the song. You know, like just write the book, do whatever it is it's going to do, open up the home, you know, invite people in, do whatever it is that God has put in your heart to do, because I'm telling you, even if it doesn't work out quite right the first time, it doesn't matter, because the righteous man, he gets back up again, people. Okay. Okay. This is my closing, okay? So stay with me for like a couple minutes. You're all going to get to eat lunch on time today, huh? Okay. There's two camps, folks. Righteous, unrighteous. Nothing in between. And so I just want to say this morning, I just want to give everybody here the opportunity to wear this breastplate of righteousness. I want to give everybody here the opportunity to say, yes, Kelly, I would like to be righteous. Yes, I would like to be right with God. Yes, I would like, should the worship team come up? Or do you guys play a CD? What do you do? Sorry. Do whatever you want to do. It's a good time. It's going to set the mood. Because something's going on the inside of you right now. And I want to set the mood and make sure that this exterior is just ready for what's going on in you. God's been speaking to your heart, to somebody here, I know for sure. To those of you who are righteous, who are wearing the breastplate of righteousness, please remember that you're wearing it. Please remember your good standing with God. Please don't let condemnation come. Don't go there. We've already said today's the day. We're done with that, eh? Be affirmed by him. Just know that he's the love that he's throwing in your life. Just let that be show it off. Show it off. That's what I'm trying to say. Just show it off to others, his good love for you. But then be empowered. Feel the boldness and just go for it. And so right now, I am going to ask people to close your eyes, bow your heads, just so I can give people a moment of privacy here. And I want to give you the chance, breastplate of righteousness. For those of you who are unrighteous and you say, no, I want to be close with God. I want to have that right standing. Number one, I want you to know that God loves you. Number two, I want you to know that your life is never going to be the same again. It's amazing. Number three, if this is you, please lift up your hand high in the air. Yeah, lift it up. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, Jesus, we thank you for your righteousness. We receive that free gift now. And we thank you for the breastplate that reminds us
that we are right with you, that we are in you. And I pray, God, that you would help us to remember this every single day of our lives. And I thank you, God, for the freedom and the life that this revelation brings. And so, folks, right now I'm going to ask for the altar ministry people to come up. And if this is something that, you know, you're like, yeah, I don't want condemnation to come anymore. I want to wear my breastplate of righteousness. Come up and get prayer. You need healing? Come up and get prayer. You just need a friend or some encouragement? You come on up and get prayer. And otherwise, you be blessed on your long weekend.